Would you please bow with me for a moment of prayer? Loving God, open our eyes to see and ears to hear your message for our life. And open our hearts this day that we might be that which is new. That we might look to that which is grace. That we might not be those who turn back to old ways, but truly turn to ways of love and grace and community. And put our faith and trust in you and those who are with us in this day. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. It's great to have you here on this third Sunday of Sunday school. As our children are in their Sunday school classes learning, committing to learn about God and grow in ways of their faith and trust and mission and ministry, we know that we too here, no matter what our age might be, continue to learn and grow in ways of faith and trust and ministry. So it's great for you to be here. Last week, I shared with you what I thought were some of the key issues in terms of our life as a people. And that some of our key issues in our life as a people are not issues of material. Issues of things we have or things we can buy or things we own or things even that can we touch. As we went through this last week, if any of you watched the news, the material things came evident, didn't they? Have you watched any of the banking stuff going on? You know, the things that are happening this weekend, the difficulty with that. Continue to keep in your prayers those who struggle with that, some of those issues in our life. It's important we do remain community in all this. But what I found kind of interesting and continue to find interesting is it is a material issue. That there are things they talk about in terms of interest rates and the stuff I don't understand. Houses that they buy and I don't get derivatives and all of that kind of stuff. But a phrase I hear over and over again that I even remember reading about in the 1920s during the Depression was, is we have a crisis in... Has anybody finished that? Who said that? We have what we hear, even as we talk about some of the most intense materialistic things in our society and in our world. The phrase that comes over and over again is, we have a crisis in confidence. That sounds kind of spiritual to me, doesn't it? That sounds like an issue of faith. That sounds like an issue of trust. And even with the most concrete things in our world, we talk about issues of confidence, faith, and trust. As followers of Jesus Christ, as people of faith, we talk about what it means for us to have faith in Christ, to live that kind of trust God calls us to live. And that does impact material things, but the core issue is, how do we trust? How do we have faith? And how do we have that kind of confidence God calls us to have? For us, as followers of Jesus Christ, the central issue in our life is having faith and trust in God, but also to know that love that God has given us. When God created the world, He created out of a sense of love and creation that we might be those people who are together and enjoy and love that around us and love God in return and love God, love each other as we are. As we were created by God and part of God, and as Jesus came to us as that one of love, who gave His life for us. He taught us what are the central issues. They're spiritual. That we are to love God with all that we have and all that we are. And that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. They're issues of faith. They're issues of trust. They're issues of confidence. Not materialistic issues. Because when we have that, wonderful and powerful things happen. Last week I shared with you a story of a slave woman. Does anybody remember her name? Mumbet. It's an easy one to remember. Slave woman named Mumbet, who in 1746, as a teenager, had a child of her own named Lizzie, and she was sold into slavery, separated from her family. For 34 years, she suffered under the oppression of that slavery, under an owner that abused her. And yet she had the confidence and the trust and the eyes and the ears of grace to look and to see what were the possibilities of love in her life. So in 1780, 34 years later, when she began to hear the Massachusetts Constitution read in public houses and in her home and by her master that all men are created equal, she had the faith and the trust and the confidence to go to a white lawyer and say, this is 1780. She's been oppressed for how many years? To go to a white lawyer and say, could you sue my master for freedom? Because that's what it says, is that we are all free. She had those eyes and those ears to see. She had that attitude that says it doesn't have to be this way. She could see with trust into the community. And she took steps about that, to do something about that. And one of the interesting things I think that she did is that she just did not. Even though she heard that, even though I'm sure she gave her concerns and her those things in her heart to God, she just didn't pray. She just didn't pray to God and say, I know I'm free, Lord, help me out here. But she went and talked to somebody, to a community. She just didn't study her scriptures in the quiet of her home. Or I'm sure she may have done some of that, as well as praying. But she saw with eyes of grace that there is another way and there is a new world for me. And I need to find a community, a person, somebody out there who I can connect with, who can help me, and whom I can be part of. You see, her faith and her trust was just not in those words that came from that Constitution. Her faith and her trust were not in just those words that come from God, that God loves us. Her faith and her trust were not just in an idea. But she took that and she brought it into this Mr. Sedgwick, a lawyer. You know, and people who oppressed her people, she trusted that that could happen. And because she trusted, because she had that faith, she won her freedom. In 1781, a court case came through, one of the first in our country, that established the precedence that nobody can own anybody else, because she had that faith and that trust to see in those around, not just to have that faith and trust, you know, in God, in this idea, but in a community of people. We know powerfully what our Christian theology says. That Christ came into our lives. That Christ came into our world that we might know salvation, that we might know redemption. And what's so powerful about that is just not our community. It's just not our, you know, that God came to the world, but God came to us to love each of us individually. And how wonderful and powerful that is, but also that God came to us in community of love and grace. And when we trust, not just in those ideas of faith, not just in what the scriptural story tells us, but when we live that faith and trust in mission and ministry, but also in community. When faith and trust is in community, in the church, in our small groups, in our families, in our friends, when we live that trust there, it is awesome and it is powerful and wonderful things happen. As we have started small group ministry here and are encouraging that, think about what it means for you to be in community and get the love and grace and support that is there. That's so important. That's so important. Let me take just a moment and share kind of a personal thing. How many are on a prayer chain? Last week I had a prayer concern. Do you remember? And this is real personal. But I don't share it just because it's personal and just because it's about me. But I share it because I think it's helpful and not just to me. Last Saturday, September 13th, it was the anniversary of my brother's death. He was 47 years old, and he died from complications with alcohol. It also happened that last weekend, as I had a few days, which I didn't have to work, that I could get away. And so I went to a little place we have in Wisconsin to work on the house up there, but also, you know, the fishing, I like to fish. So to do a little of that, but also to sort through some things. We have some things we've stored up there from my mother, who passed away 2 years ago, and my brother, to kind of get some of that stuff settled. Do you know how that works? You know, so I went up there to get that stuff settled. But before I went, I called our prayer team, and I said, you know, the anniversary is here. Would you pray for me that weekend? Because, you know, I remember. And we know how that is, right? It's difficult. It's difficult. Well, I went up, and one of the most ironic things. You start sorting through things. I picked up a box and started to sort through some things, and I found a letter that my brother wrote at his confirmation class, as I was about to teach confirmation the next Sunday. I mean, that wasn't an easy thing to do, but it was kind of a nice thing. And it was tough being there in some ways by myself, but in other ways, it was nice. I had some time just to be there, to think. I went out. I did get we have a canoe up there. We don't have a boat. I got out there in the canoe. I even got some of my lures out, and I could hear the fish laughing as I threw those in the water. He's back again. Can you believe he wants to? And every now and then I catch a little bluegill. I think they just did that. Say, it's your turn to make him happy. So let's get him out of the water. He's kind of a hassle now. I did that and just kind of was on the water for a while. But in that also, remember a time when myself and my brother, that we fished together? Remember the time when we were fishing in Canada and my brother never let me forget this, how I was casting into the water and wasn't holding my brand new fishing pole tight and dropped it into the water and lost it? He loved that story. I remember the story about him catching a bass on my lure that I had just thrown in the water and gave him to hold, and he wouldn't give the pole back to me. And I never let him forget that. I remember the time we rowed in that boat with the anchor still down because we forgot to pull it up. I remember the struggles we had over addictions and alcohol. And I was sad. And that was a good time for me, even though it was a sad time. You who have lost people know about that. That was a good time for me, even though it was a sad time. And I need those times, and we all need those times. But sometimes I think, especially perhaps for us as American Christians or North American Christians, you know, we know God saves us individually, but also we know our culture teaches us we are individuals, you know? And with Christ, you can do it all. With Christ, you have the strength. But sometimes I think we fall into the trap of that kind of bootstrap ideology that says you ought to have the strength and the courage to do it by yourself. And sometimes we confuse strength and courage with isolation and not getting what we need, which is community. I have moments to myself in which I can mourn those losses I have in my life. But let me share with this with you. The true strength I got last year and the true strength I got this last weekend wasn't because I was in the boat remembering those things. It's because I knew I had a group that was praying for me. And however you see prayer, at least I know they were with me in this. The true strength I got came from when I came back from my brother's funeral a year ago. And I had the leadership of the church come to me and support me in what we were doing and working together. The true strength I got was from the staff of this church coming to me and supporting me in the difficulties of getting through that last September. That was the true strength I got. The true strength I got was from God and God's grace, as God not only touched me through this church, but the clergy association from which I'm part of. Those pastors turned to me and helped me. The local rabbi turned to me and helped me. A member of our association who was a Muslim turned to me, and I was part of that community. That was the true strength I got in that new community that we are a part of. The true strength I got was from my wife and my children in community. Because that's what God calls us to be and to do. This morning's gospel lesson, Jesus talks about old cloth and new cloth. You can't put them together. And I don't think Jesus says, you know, we ought to throw the old things away. But he's saying old things and new things. Sometimes you can't hold on just to the old. But you got to have the new as well. And sometimes when I'm dealing with issues in my life, be they even mission or ministry or dealing with personal stuff in my life, there's this old idea I have that I have to suck it up and do it on my own. And I don't let the grace and the love of Jesus Christ touch me in each of you or those that I know. Because that old idea says you got to be strong. You sissy, you can't take it on your own. And when we do that, we toss out the true gift God has given us. And the issues of faith and trust are just not vertical in a trust with God who is up there, but the faith and the trust in whom God gives us around us, that we can live in community with them. And when we do that, it is a wonderful and a powerful thing. It is an amazing thing that faith and trust in God working in each other can lift us, heal us, and even make us leaders of love and grace in our community. So my question is, do you have faith? Do you have trust? Will people betray that sometimes? Yes. I'm not up here naively to say, you know, whoever you tell stuff, they'll help you no matter what. No. But if we don't dare,
live that faith and trust in community. We have lost the gift God has given us here in this place and who we are.
Our Redeemers, this church, has been a place of faith and trust for years and generations. 40-some years ago, a group of people got together when I think Schomburg Road ended at Roselle. And they said there need with some help from a Methodist bishop and a house that was bought over by Bach Park, the group came together and said, we need a Methodist community in this. We need a Methodist church in this community that will minister here and will grow because this community is growing. 10 or 15 years ago, there was a group of people that said, we need to expand what it means for this community to do church. And they started a caring ministries council to say, this community, we're not just going to do things the old way. We're going to grow into new ways in terms of caring for those who are hungry, who are ill, who are in need of us. 6 years ago, some people in this community came together and said, you know, we worship in one way, but also there are different kinds of music we can use. There's different kinds of worship we can use. There's a new way in which we can do things and form community around and speak love and grace to new people within our community and in our church. About 6 or 7 years ago, there were some people in this church and other churches that said, you know, we need to see with new eyes. We need to minister in new ways and establish connections to other Christian churches, synagogues, and mosques as we live in a new kind of world. Last year, we talked about what does it mean for us to expand that loving touch that we all know sometimes when we are hurting and begin small group things that people might have a place to love and to feel love. And to live a small church here. 3 years ago, we had a group of people who said, you know, the cloth isn't long enough, isn't big enough yet. And we need a group that talks about justice, about how we minister to others who are truly in need and get on the solution side of things. We continue to need to grow in ways of love and grace and community. And not see ourselves as those who have just received God's grace in isolation, but that faith and that trust calls us to each other. And as we do those things, as we grow in those things, as we vision those things, we are going to be a gift. Just like you were a gift to me. That's why I tell you that. I appreciate you listening to me. You know, it's probably one of the biggest therapy sessions I've ever had today. I appreciate that. But it's not just to share that, you know, because I need to share it. But it's to remind you that this bootstrap kind of guy who was taught, you know, as I played football, you're tough and you got to do it by yourself. As this kind of guy can say, I need you and I need community and I need to be loved and I need to bring you into that. To say, we are a church called to be that and to do that for each other, but also for those within our community. In the next 3 or 4 weeks, we want to talk about our Redeemers. We want to talk about this community and this church and what does it mean for us to vision to be that kind of community God calls us to be, to minister to others as a family of God. We want to think and talk about what it means for us to be those who radically welcome outcasts and strangers. And to be that community where people who are in need of love and grace will find in us the hands and the feet, the eyes and the ears of Jesus Christ. To know they are welcome and they are loved. In the next few weeks, we want to talk about being that place, visioning that place of those who offer a place for all to know and to minister together, to use their gifts and use their skills to be part of the kingdom builders for Jesus Christ. We want to talk about that and vision that. And finally, we want to talk about and vision what it means for us to walk together in mission and ministry outside of this place. To be those who see need within our world and in community and apply the grace and the love of Jesus Christ to that, but also to walk in ways of mission and ministry to say, sometimes things are just wrong and we need to say that. And we need to love all around us. I invite you to come and be a part of that. If you're a visitor today or visitors who come next week, we're going to talk about mission and ministry for us individually. Not that we're not just going to talk about our church, but to talk about what does it mean for us to vision together. Because did you know that our bricks are different? Did you know that? The bricks are different.
And if you want to find out about that, I'll see you next week.
Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Most loving God, we thank you this day for the love and the grace with which you hold us. We thank you for the grace and the love that gives that saving grace to each of us individually. But Lord, we also thank you that you called community. You called 12 disciples. You named women as your disciples and ministers and those who worked with you. And you called a community in the book of Acts to be the church together. Knowing that grace and trust comes through each other. So Lord, help us give up those old ways of individualism. Help us give up those old ways of just ourselves and truly move to the healing power and the healing touch that our friend and family and community. Touch us each this day. And if there's anybody in this room now who needs to be touched by a friend or a family or the grace of a community, show them that direction that they might move there. And finally, Lord, open our eyes and ears to the vision you would have for us as a church. Remind us that brick and mortar is just brick and mortar. It's a place to do mission and ministry. So Lord, touch us and continue to help us grow as we are those who call ourselves followers of yours. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.